Welcome back to Checkpoint Reach Podcast. I'm your host, Luke Elden. Today I'm joined by Sud, as always, but we're delighted to have on Ink Ribbon. How you doing, mate?
Hi, I'm good. How are you guys?
Yeah,
pretty good,
really
thanks.
Good.
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah, we're really excited to get you on, and we have had you on in the past as a little spoiler behind the scenes, but unfortunately the audio was, it just didn't pick up, so essentially it was no good. We've got you back on, and this time, fingers crossed, this will definitely go out.
Yes, and I'm happy to be here again.
Yeah, well, we really appreciate it, mate.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
and no worries.
Well, one thing, obviously, that you're quite well known for is the Resident Evil franchise and your videos on that, which are brilliant, so definitely check them out,
good.
Whoever is listening to this. And, Sud, you're a massive Resident Evil guy as well, so I thought you guys could have a nice little chat maybe about the upcoming village.
It's exciting.
Okay. Well, there seems to be two camps of Resident Evil fans right now regarding Village. There's the people who are really mad and the people who are excited and like open to it. Where do you stand, Sud?
Well, the first thing I think I'd say is that's kind of life, isn't it? That seems to be every game is divisive nowadays. I don't think there's many games left that have 100% sort of partisan crowd. So it doesn't surprise me, to be honest. I've got to say, I think a lot of it's probably based on, you've got to say a lot of it will probably be based on if people enjoyed Resident Evil 7 or not, because it seems like the game is going to be, well, I'd say similar. Obviously, there is going to be some differences, but the way it plays and things like that, obviously, first person, things like that. So, you know, if you weren't a fan of Resident Evil 7, then I don't think you're going to be a fan of this one, to be honest. You know, I know there's a lot of like old school Resident Evil fans that are very sort of stuck in the ways, aren't they? And, you know, I'll only accept sort of the old clunky Resident Evils, I guess you could say.
But, yeah, which I'm guilty of too. But like, I don't know, with 7, the biggest argument that people had, myself included, was that the game was really good, but it wasn't Resident Evil. You know, we didn't have the characters. There was no like umbrella. Well, there kind of was, but like it just didn't feel like Resident Evil. And the argument that I've been giving is, because of the context of the current world that we're living in, I'm actually okay with getting away from viruses and pandemics and like the end of the world and just focusing on a more, you know, fantasy driven setting. I don't know if I would feel that way though, if we weren't in, you know, a pandemic. So I don't know if it's contextual or what, but like, I'm just open to it right now.
That's actually a really good point. Because obviously, like, most of the time you play games, you want escapism. And if it was following in the same trend of Resident Evil, I mean, obviously, completely different, but still similar with the virus and just the hectic world around you. Yeah, that wouldn't be perfect.
Yeah, because when Resident Evil 3 Remake came out, it was, like, right when the pandemic was taking off. And then it opened with, like, news footage of, like, oh, there's been an outbreak. And it was just like, oh, no, like, this is too close to home right now. And normally, that's what I want out of Resident Evil. I want, like, you know, these abandoned city, like, levels and stuff like that. But right now, that's not really what I want. So I don't know. But I understand the people who are not happy about it. There's a lot of people who have told me that they didn't even bother playing 7, which I found a little surprising. And I think they should give it a chance because it's actually terrifying, especially in VR. Oh, my God.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did hear VR is a very good experience. One of the best, actually, I heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's also a great way to find out if VR makes you motion sick. I learned that.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, I think to be fair, your point about Resident Evil 3 and the timing is funny, because it sometimes works the other way as well, because I know there's a game called Plague Inc. That is out, that actually I think its sales shot up massively, didn't it?
Yeah, their servers
at the start
crashed.
Of the pandemic, because, well, just inevitably people kind of in that sort of like pandemic mood think, oh, I'll play a game about infecting the world, I guess. But yeah, and then maybe, and you know, Resident Evil 3, and I know obviously Resident Evil 3 sales, actually, to be fair, they weren't that strong, were they, the remake then?
Yeah, but that's kind of more related to like bad reviews and, you know, let's be honest, like Resident Evil 3 could have been a lot better.
Yeah, I've got to say, I actually, quite enjoyed it. I don't know. Don't get me wrong. It was nowhere near as good as Resident Evil 2, obviously, that came out the year before, which I think for me is... I actually think it's... I don't know if this is like a controversial opinion or what, but I think it's the best Resident Evil game, personally. I do. I know people might say, oh, well, it's, you know, the original and stuff like that, but I don't know. I think overall, from what I've played, it is the best one. I think what they did with that remake was fantastic. And, you know, especially... I think the game definitely gets weaker, you know, later on into, but, you know, the police station in the remake is just, it's what you'd want as a remake, isn't it? You know, as a Resident Evil fan. So for me, that is, I think, yeah, absolutely. So I think it's the best one. I actually didn't mind 3. I mean, I know a lot of people kind of, you know, aren't happy with it and things like that. And I can understand there was a lot of cut content, you know, that I think when you look at like Nemesis, a little bit disappointing, I guess.
Well, the biggest thing is Capcom made the mistake of making Resident Evil 2 Remake really, really good and setting the bar high and then cutting corners with Resident Evil 3 and having those expectations up here and the game is down here. That was so much worse. Like, if Resident Evil 3 Remake had just come out on its own, it would have been fine. But because it had 2 Remake preceding it, it just, like, it had no chance.
What's strange about that is as well that Resident Evil 2 and 3 were actually made concurrently.
Yeah, but by completely different teams that were not communicating with each other. So, like, there was a lot of weird...
Yeah, that's... That and that, you know, but you would think, wouldn't you, because they were being made concurrently, you'd have thought there'd been some sort of communication saying, like, well, look what people have liked about 2. You've got an extra, like, you know, year to develop this. Maybe try and add some things in or change it. But it seems like they maybe just kind of went, we'll just kind of put it out there. We'll live off the Resident Evil 2 sales and name, and it'll 3 will sell decently, I guess. And that's, I guess, basically what happened. But...
Sorry, so Luke, you're like...
Well, no, to be fair, I am not a massive Resident Evil fan, as you can probably tell by my, my muteness. But I don't know. It's always a franchise that I've looked from the outside in, and obviously Sud being a massive fan and us being friends for God knows how long now, 10 plus years. It's, I always hear the stories about the games, and most of my friends like it as well. And I'm never sure if to jump in one day maybe and just play it through. But I don't know. It just never really appealed to me. Maybe it's horror vibe.
It's all good. We all like what we like, and everyone's got their fandoms, and I know that you've got games that you're a super fan of, so, like, it's all good.
It is. It's all subjective, isn't it?
I did want to ask, though, what your thoughts were on Resident Evil 7 overall.
Pretty much what I said, like, just the easiest way to sum it up is that it was a great game, but it wasn't Resident Evil. I liked a lot of the mechanics. They did a really good job. That was sort of them reeling it back to horror and sort of... It was like just resetting completely. They did something so new and tried so many things that, you know, because Resident Evil was kind of going off the rails with when we got to like 6, it was like now an action game. And then there was all these weird spin-offs and nobody in the fandom knew what was going on anymore. And I think 7 kind of helped just reset everything. And then that helped introduce a lot of Resident Evil 2, because seeing that a single player horror game is still viable, where a lot of companies have just assumed that that's like a dead business avenue and it's not profitable. Capcom proved that that was not the case. And, you know, we've seen a lot of resurgence of single player horror, which I'm so happy about. And I think we owe it all to 7.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, it's good that this one comes out so soon, actually. It's, you know, we don't have to wait long, is it? I think it's, have they said a release month? Is it April or March, or they just said Q1?
It's all really assuming you can even get a PS5 by the time it comes out.
That's a good point.
Right now, right before you guys called, I was looking at pre-orders again, and it's still sold out everywhere.
Yeah.
It is a PS5 game, right?
Well, there's been a bit of controversy, hasn't there? Because actually, there's been listings that it might come to PS4 and Xbox One.
I wouldn't be surprised, because they would make a lot of money selling it on both systems.
There's been a lot of people kind of disappointed in that, because obviously a lot of people are thinking, well, if I'm buying a new gen machine, I want a next gen only game. But I think with the way these machines are developed anyway, I don't think it works like that anymore, to be honest. I think you will get a really good experience from the Xbox Series X or PS5. And, you know, it's good for people that can't find one or don't want to upgrade yet on PS4 and Xbox One. And they're the biggest user bases. So that the game, it makes sense for Capcom to be like, you know what? Yeah, we kind of initially said it was going to be a PS5, Xbox Series X exclusive, but actually, we're kind of backtracking on that now. We want the sales.
Yeah. Well, from a game developer perspective, like, it's going to be the exact same game. It's just that the lighting and the graphics are just going to be a little bit
lower resolutions, probably lower frame. It probably run 30 FPS instead of 60 FPS and things like that.
Yeah. So it's going to look like Resident Evil 7 graphics. Like, that's, you know, the benchmark. So,
I got to say though, you know, the trailers, the game looks, you know, graphically looks something. It looks one of the best I've seen next gen games to me. It's like, yeah, this is,
it did look really good stuff. To be fair.
Like, wow, this, yeah, it's one from a next gen Resident Evil.
Yeah, well, that's another thing that's cool about, I don't know if it's the same team that did 7, but like when 7 was coming out, I mean, just in terms of VR, it was like revolutionary, because there's still not a PSVR game that's like a full-fledged game the way that 7 was, and that was them really pushing the envelope. And now, you know, with the PS5 coming out, they stepped it up, because this is sort of like one of the few games that's like in the new graphic realm of the next generation, which is so exciting.
Absolutely.
Yeah, same. I can't wait. I was lucky enough to actually get my hands on both. I got a Series S and a PS5.
Same. We got the same, didn't we?
We did, but I was very shocked to get my PS5, so I didn't think I got it until literally last week when I got an email saying, congrats, you're one of the lucky pre-orders. And I was like, what?
Wow.
Somehow. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it felt that way.
I mean, I got one as well. I mean, I managed to get one straight away. I was just very lucky. I was literally on a game website when they were starting to, you know, and they kind of just dropped them without anyone saying. So I was like, wow, I got really lucky there. But
yeah, after the event,
I haven't had, I've got my pre-order confirmation, but I haven't had anything since then. So I'm a little bit like, a little bit trepidatious and a little bit worried about, are they going to suddenly be like,
oh, is your money not gone out yet?
No.
Oh, so, they took my money straight away.
I don't know. It's different. Well, different websites do different things, don't they? Some don't do it until dispatch and things like that. So
I'm sure they'll be happy to take your money. And if there's not a PS5 with your name on it, they'll be like, oh, well, there's some delays, but it'll come
probably
eventually.
Yeah.
We've got your money. Don't worry.
Wouldn't surprise me.
I would not be surprised. But I do want to ask you a question though, Kai. You touched on like PlayStation VR. What were your overall thoughts with that? Because I got a VR system myself and I don't know, I could only really play it for like maybe 15, 20 minutes a time and think, yeah, this is cool. And then I was kind of done. And it never really hooked me in. And it was always felt like, I can't think of the word I'm looking for. But it was just a bit of a gimmick, I guess.
Yeah. I personally really loved VR. I am heartbroken to say that I get extremely motion sick with certain games, mainly Resident Evil 7, which makes me so upset. Like, I tried Skyrim VR and same thing. I was just like 5 minutes in, I start to feel like I'm going to throw up and like,
I did the same. Yeah. Skyrim VR, tough.
Yeah. So anything rough. Where you're walking, all the ones where you're stationary are fine. And that's like, Samsung, as far as I know, still has a full-fledged team of engineers and developers trying to solve VR motion sickness. Like, that's their only job. So they're trying to get it taken care of. But when it comes to other games in VR, especially the experiences and like the shorter things, like you said, like, it can feel very gimmicky, and I understand that, but like, it's also really cool, like a roller coaster ride. I had the Samsung Gear VR, and I took that to a party one time, and like everybody got to try it on, and it was Ocean Rift, I think is what it's called. And it's just like this underwater, you know,
is that with the shark in the cage and stuff like
that? Yeah. But there's also like sea turtles and whales and stuff. And it's like the most magical thing. And like, it was a hit at that party. Everybody was like, can you bring it next time? And people were like ordering one, like, oh my God, I have to have this. So it can be a lot of fun in the right context, but I know what you mean. Like, I don't really play mine very much because it's like such a chore to like plug in all the cables and set it up, and you have to clear your living room so you don't like, you know, break a lamp. And it's in progress though. I mean, I never thought we'd actually have VR headsets, and we actually do now, which is so cool.
Yeah. I must admit though, our experiences sound quite similar, because same with me. You know, you get a party or your family round, you pull out the VR set and you're like, hey, try this. Something that they're not, like, a lot of my family members aren't gamers, so something completely new and different. It's just an experience for them. I remember this Spider-Man one. Do you ever play the Spider-Man one?
I didn't.
Oh, that was class. For what it was anyway. And the amount of people I got to try that, and they literally thought they were actually falling and stuff. Oh, that was an experience in itself, actually, watching people fall over back into the chair.
Well, see, that's like the coolest thing for me, because playing horror games all my childhood, I'm like, I'm over it. I don't get scared in games anymore. Like, things jump out and sometimes I'll be like, whoa, but that's about it. But when you're in VR, you're there. You have depth perception and you react when something flies at you. You're like, ah, because it's like, that's what you would do in real life. And it's so cool. Like, when you see the people videos of people, like, you know, diving and wiping out because they forget that they're in the game. I mean,
yeah,
you can't get more immersive than that, when people forget that they're like in real life.
Yeah, and I've seen so many people do that, and it's class. It is brilliant.
I don't understand, like, one game that I do recommend everybody with VR play at least for a little bit is Super Hot. Like, that was so cool. It's like being in the Matrix. It doesn't look that impressive with the graphics, but like, you know, everything goes in slow motion. You're grabbing like a gun out of the air and bam, 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 and you're like dodging bullets.
That is one though that I have heard a lot of good things about. Yeah, I never really tried it.
I play Super Hot without VR and it's fun. So with VR, I can imagine it being
Yeah, that's funny, because I can't imagine playing without VR, because I've only played VR, and like how would you do this with a controller?
So of course, you know, we'll carry on with PlayStation talk, I guess, because that's a natural move on for the VR talk. Let's talk about the news of PlayStation 5, and there's been a couple of things this week. PlayStation's been in the news actually more, I think, last week, even though they still haven't shown much, which is frustrating. But obviously, we've got this story about the you know, the PS4 game saves, and whether will they actually, you know, will a lot of them carry across to PlayStation 5? So there's a story here in IGN. And basically, what it is the question's twofold. Will saves backward-compatible PS4 games carry over to PS5, or will players have to start fresh on any PS4 game they want to play on next-gen hardware? And secondly, will all cross-gen games, which either have paid or free upgrades in the PS4 or PS5 versions, require new saves to be started for those who begin on the PS4 version and want to take advantage of the new shiny PS5 iteration? So this is obviously an issue where, you know, we've heard a lot about, obviously, with Xbox Series X, there's been a lot of, they've been showing off, haven't they, the console, and they've been showing off the backwards compatibility features, and we know that Xbox has kind of, they've done really well in that regard, haven't they, with backwards compatibility?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of praise for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty clear they're ahead of Sony in that regard. And obviously, all their saves work across any device, anything like that, any, you know, any backwards compatible game. So, but we obviously aren't 100% sure on the PS5, PS4 thing yet. But I mean, there was a story about the new Yakuza game. That obviously, that's not actually coming to PS5 until 2021. But they were saying that, obviously, but it comes out on PS4 in November. So, but the problem with that is that actually, I think Sony said that, or the Yakuza devs anyway, said that the saves will not carry across from the PS4. If you're trying to upgrade from the PS4 into PS5, it'll actually be a new save. You'd have to start again on the upgraded version, which, I don't know, I think to me seems a little bit antiquated and a little bit backwards to me. I mean, I think we're supposed to be kind of, you know, modern technology, you know, these new machines, and it seems a little bit odd to me that, you know, this is something you'd hear about maybe from a few years ago, but, you know, saves not carrying across to the new machine just seems a little bit, I don't know, just seems a bit odd to me. I don't know what you think.
See, I was more of the mindset that I just expected that I'd have to be starting new saves on the new new console. Maybe that's my age, you know, and I'm used to.
I'm in the same boat.
I just always assumed that would be the case. You get it on the next gen, and then it's like, yeah, okay, I've got to start a new save. But I guess I'd be buying the game because I enjoy the game on the next gen, so wouldn't be that bad maybe to start a new save in my mind. But that's the way I think about it. Obviously, Kai, you have similar thoughts.
Yeah, well, because I'm a recovered trophy addict, and like, I remember getting excited to rebuy a game for like the new, like when I went like from PS3 to PS4, I would buy games again because I was like, okay, I get to start all over and play this game all over again and get another platinum trophy. And some of the games, like, that wasn't the case. Like, it recognized saves, which was really annoying. Like, I had been playing Final Fantasy X on my Vita, and then I got it on PS4, and it automatically transferred all my data, and I got the platinum, and I was like, what?
Well, it seems like that's going to happen again, because especially with the Yakuza game, if it's a brand new, basically they're treating the PS5 version as a brand new entity. So you'd assume, again, it'll be a question of, it'll just count as a completely new game and new saves, new trophies and that. So I guess it's swings and roundabouts. Some people, maybe like yourself, would be maybe not too bothered about that, but I assume some people would be very annoyed as well. So maybe it's a 50-50 thing there.
I think it really depends on the game, because some games you're fine with starting over, and some games it's like so much progress that you'd have to do all over again that it's just like not worth it, and it's very defeating. So, and yeah, it depends on the person too.
I think for me, like an example would be, there would be certain games for me where probably both ways I'd be happy or not. I mean, obviously Luca, you know, we're big fans of Mass Effect.
We are.
And I've got to say, for me, you know, I wouldn't mind playing a PS4 version and then, you know, starting again with a PS5 version. No, that'd be fine for me. I wouldn't even mind that.
Yeah, I'd be the same. But like Kai's touched on,
there'd be certain games where I'm like,
It depends on. Well,
yeah, I was going to say there'd be certain games.
Is it Dark Souls or Demon Souls? I mean, you're not going to want to be starting that over again.
Yeah, that's what I mean. There'd be certain games where you're like, I think once is enough.
Yeah.
And obviously, while Demon Souls probably not too bad because it's not coming to PS4. But yeah, I get what you mean. Like, I'm trying to think of a game like, I don't know, the next Call of Duty, for example. Like, I really don't think I'd be wanting to start over with progress or anything.
So, like the example that comes to mind for me is like, if you had unlocked, which I still haven't because it's so hard, but like in Metal Gear Solid 4, if you unlock the big boss like face camo, which is like the hardest thing to do, and then you had to like play the game all over again, I don't think I'd be able to do that, you know, because it's so it's like one of those things that's just a one time extremely difficult thing to do, but once you've done it, you're good, you know.
That's true. Just a little side note, by the way, talking about Metal Gear quickly, I recently went back and played the HD collection on PS3. Them games are so good, 2 and 3.
They really are.
Honestly, that Luke, I think you should go back and play them at some point if you can. They're so good. When you go back...
I've got them downloaded, ready to go.
Yeah, I'd give them a go, because although the controls... I just love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. 3 is my favourite one anyway. I know, again, that's probably an unpopular opinion, but it's my favorite one. Although I haven't played one.
I don't know. So. I've seen a lot of people say.
You ever played one?
No. Yeah.
That's like the best one. That's my favorite one. Like, what's wrong with you?
I'm waiting for a remake.
Might be waiting a while, mate.
No, he has never played Metal Gear Solid 1.
That's a really good impression, actually.
That is good.
Thank
How
you.
Would you know? You haven't played the first
of my
one.
19 years practicing it.
Hey, no, honestly, not.
Time puts a good use, Kai.
I've got to say though, yeah, Metal Gear Solid 2, I mean, they're just so good. They're just so fun. I mean, the controls, yeah, all right, they're not the best nowadays, but they're still so fun to play.
Really, to be honest, man, you know when I hear people sometimes complain about control stuff, if you love the game and you go back to it, you just get past that, surely.
Yeah. No, I mean, I shouldn't.
Hey, classic Resident Evil, tank controls are the worst. I understand that, but I don't care. I know how to play them. I'm good.
Exactly. Yeah, and get the enjoyment out of them. That's why, Sud, I think you should just get Metal Gear Solid 1. I've got...
Oh, I know, but it's so
For some
old.
Reason, I've got two copies of Metal Gear Solid 1. Don't ask me why. I don't know how I've got two. So I can give you one.
Well, I actually do have a copy of it. I do have Metal Gear Solid 1.
Even if you just play the Twin Snakes, that'll suffice. It's not the best experience for it, but like if you're concerned about graphics or it being too old, that's like, you know, as good as it gets.
Unfortunately, I don't have a GameCube. I mean, you probably play it on PC as well, I'm sure. But yeah, I don't know. I'm just going to wait for this remake. Surely, eventually, they're going to remake it. It's just
I don't know if you guys saw a couple weeks ago, there was rumors that there is a Metal Gear Solid remake coming, and I don't know how I feel about that, but we'll see.
I mean, I'd be delighted. Personally.
Would you not be delighted with that, Kai?
Well, there's just, it's so iconic and so specific that there's so many ways they could ruin it, as demonstrated by the Twin Snakes. Just changing little things here and there can really dull the experience, you know, or if you change too much, like people get angry. And like, so like, imagine if David Hayter wasn't Snake. Like that alone right there is already like half the game ruined.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I guess that's a good point, because at the minute he isn't. So...
Yeah.
You know,
that,
they need
that was
to resolve
disappointing
that
for me as well.
Yeah.
Well, apparently him and Kojima had like some sort of falling out or something. So it doesn't look like he'll be returning unless Konami does it without Kojima, maybe. But like, yeah, we don't need to get into all that. But
yeah.
Well, I've got to say quickly, I'd want Bluepoint to remake it. I mean, they did a really good job with 2 and 3 remakes. And obviously Demon's Souls looks like it's going to be great. And Bluepoint are an up and up developer. And I think they're probably going to be maybe bought by Sony soon as well. To be honest with you. So it'd be perfect if they could buy them and then make a Metal Gear. Imagine that. Metal Gear exclusive spots. I mean, that's massive.
I would love it.
What's funny is the mention of a Metal Gear Solid remake makes me excited for the possibility of more Silent Hill games. Yeah. But like, I'm also like, well, I shouldn't hold my breath because Konami's track record is not very good in that department.
Well, we talk about, I mean, there's been rumors about that recently as well. Yeah, again, they just won't go away, these Silent Hill rumors. They just keep cropping up.
I feel so, like, my heart goes out to Silent Hill fans, because if Capcom did to Resident Evil what Konami did to Silent Hill, I would legitimately be heartbroken. Like, no joke.
Mm. See, you know, some of these Resident Evil fans complain. They should probably be careful what they wish for sometimes, yeah. Because, you know, I mean, it's like you could have a situation like with Silent Hill where you don't get a mainline game for...
Are you calling out the Resident Evil fans here, Sud? Is this...
I'm just saying. Look,
they're divided.
Yeah,
He's not saying anything new.
Oh right, okay.
Yeah, I'm just saying that, you know, things could be a lot worse. We've had some good Resident Evil games in the last few years, so.
Well, here's my weird, like, looking into the future thing, and I don't know what's going to happen. So things got really weird after Resident Evil 4 because there was also the Resident Evil 1 and 0 like remaster whatever, like the remakes. So you've got the classic fans of the old games, and then you have the action fans, and now we have Resident Evil 7 type gameplay in first person, and we have Resident Evil 2 and 3 remakes. So now we've got four different style of gameplays, not counting the spin-offs and all of that stuff. So where's Capcom gonna go from here? Because if Resident Evil 8 sells really well, but Resident Evil 2 remake sold really well, they have to choose. Are we gonna go first person again, or are we gonna go third person?
I don't think they do need to choose. I think they can go with, you know, and I guess you say four styles, which is technically true, but I guess more two styles with the first and third person. They can kind of get away with saying it's two styles, I guess, even though, like you say, there is differences even between the styles. But no, because I think it's inevitable we're going to get Resident Evil 4 remake. I think that's inevitable. It's like there's no way it's not happening. Resident Evil 4 is arguably the most beloved one, I think, to be honest. I mean, I don't think that's even a controversial thing to say. I think it just is, really.
Well, a lot of people argue about that, but, like, objectively speaking, Resident Evil 4 was a great game. Like, I will always say that. I actually just finished replaying it, and, like, it's so funny that we're having this conversation, because even when Lisa J was on the stream, we introduced her to Resident Evil. She had never played it, even though she was one of the voices, and she was, like, so into it. But she even asked a couple times, she's like, people keep talking about like different camera styles. I don't understand. Why is that important? And she made me realize it's like, it doesn't sound like it's that big of a deal, but like gameplay style for all games matters. I mean, even at like Tomb Raider then versus now, you know?
Oh, 100%.
Absolutely.
Which is your favorite, Kai, in the Resident Evil franchise?
The original two. That got me into 3D art, game development, video games. Like, I mean, it changed my life. And I mean, now I have my YouTube channel. So, yeah.
Which, see, that's why originally when I said my favorite was Resident Evil 2 Remake, I knew that like, a lot of people would say, oh, you can't say that to the original. Because it's like, I get it. Because without the original, you wouldn't get a remake. I do understand that. But so, obviously, that one's your favorite one. Which would you say is objectively the best one overall?
You know, I think I'd agree with you with 2 Remake. Mm. I think that really just it captured what Resident Evil is all about.
Mm.
And they did such a beautiful job with that game. I love it. It's just nothing will ever replace the original. It's close for me, but you know.
I think what they did with Tyrant was fantastic. You know, you compare it to what happened with Nemesis and Resident Evil 3, and Nemesis, to be fair, was a pretty big letdown, really. In the Resident Evil 3 remake.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Nemesis is supposedly, you know, one of the most, scariest, if you want to talk like that, sort of the villains, I guess, in the Resident Evil franchise. And it didn't feel like that in 3, really, did it, to be honest? And actually, I think Tyrant in 2 kind of overtook the mantle, really, from Nemesis as being this terrifying monster because, you know, And he doesn't even need to make any noise to do that. You just hear the noise of the creaking of the footsteps. And
is he the guy with the cap?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's exactly what I said earlier, because at first the Tyrant in 2 Remake was so scary and everyone was like, oh my God, like when you see him in a room, you'd hide and you'd get all freaked out. But eventually you learned his patterns and you kind of knew how to deal with him and you were over it. And with Resident Evil 3 remake and Nemesis, at first he was terrifying because he was so much faster and stronger than Mr. X. But then, like, you learn his patterns even faster because it's like, oh, it's the same as the Tyrant. You just got to do this and that, and then he's down. You're good to go. And then he was just not scary at all after that.
Yeah, that was a problem. It was definitely a problem. So, I mean, what do you think about sort of... What do you think about Resident Evil 4 getting remade, first of all? I mean, would that be something that you'd be hesitant about, or is it something that you think is needed? Or?
I mean, I don't think it's needed. I think it's going to make Capcom a ton of money, and, you know, I'm here for it, sure, why not? But I would have so preferred a Code Veronica remake, or, you know, there's so many other definitely. Entries they could have visited. But, you know, Capcom's going to, of course, go with 4, because that game, you know, that's like Street Fighter 2, where it was like, you know, just printing money.
I mean, a lot of people have called for Resident Evil 1 to be sort of remade again, haven't they?
Well, the actual producers have talked about that, making a remake of Resident Evil 1 remake, you know, and I would actually be cool with that, because Resident Evil 1's kind of like one of my lower entries in the series. I just didn't really care for the mansion setting, which shocks a lot of people, but that's just, you know, I didn't like that aesthetic. But I saw what they were going for, and the remake, I mean, changed the game for me completely, and I love it. So, like, seeing Resident Evil 2 remake gameplay, but in the mansion, would definitely be cool. Someone actually did a fan mod. I don't think it's available for the public yet, but they took Resident Evil 4's gameplay and then put it in the mansion.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. But
Resident Evil 1's actually one of the very few that I've played a bit. Yeah, when I was younger, I remember walking down the mansion corridor, and you guys can correct me, maybe I'm thinking of a wrong game, and I think this massive spider just jumped out and killed me. And I remember I just turned off the console after that. I'm not a massive fan of spiders.
You don't like spiders in video games, do you?
No, I think I was like 9 or 10 or something. I was like, no, not for me.
Well, you'll be happy to know the spiders have been removed from pretty much every recent entry, so you're good.
Oh, well, there you go. There's a reason to get into it then.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So I guess on a wider point then, just kind of going back to the PlayStation 5 talk, what's sort of your impressions of the PlayStation 5 from what you've seen, Kai?
It's pretty much what I expected. I was watching live when they were showing everything, and I was in my Discord server and we were all chatting about it, and I was really excited for the new Final Fantasy. I hope they learned their lessons from 15. Obviously excited about Resident Evil, and I don't know. I think Sony did a really good job, and I know that things are coming. A lot of people have been complaining about really dumb things, though. Like, one of the things was how, like, PlayStation Plus will now have just this entire library of first-party games at your disposal, and a lot of people were mad about that. Maybe it's because they've already paid for those games. I haven't, so, like, I'm fine. But Sony's really smart for doing that, because every time we have a new console, there's a drought. There's, like, no games for it for the first, like, at least 6 months, you know, or maybe there's, like, one good game. And that prevents that from happening, where you can still use the console, catch up on games that you maybe missed out on. And, you know, I don't know. I think that they're doing a great job with it. I'm excited.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's another one, again, maybe for you, Lou, it'd be handy for you. Obviously, is it like 20 or 25 titles going to be available at launch on the PlayStation, if you've got PlayStation Plus? You know, there's a lot of first-party games that maybe you haven't tried that you could try now for free.
Yeah, I'll 100% be trying it, because obviously... Yeah. Well, I say I'm making the switch to PlayStation for the next gen, but I have bought both, so
yes,
I'm not really sure what I'll do
yeah.
In that sense. But I'm same as you, Kai. I really enjoyed the event, and it really got me excited actually for the next gen, because I've seen all these games, and even Final Fantasy, and another franchise that I've only played some games of, and I have enjoyed them, to be fair, but I never fully got into it. When I was seeing that, I was thinking, wow, this looks really good, actually. I just liked the setting of it. It looked different to me. So everything really about the event I enjoyed, and it got me hyped for the next gen. And I think the console, yeah, I'm excited. I like the fact that, like you touched on, Kai, that there's not really going to be like many games that are exclusive to that console on release. So why not go back and try the previous gen games that you might have missed? I think that's a great deal.
So what do you get? What's your verdict on the look of the PS5?
I personally don't like it.
Yeah, I'm not keen. It's too big. It's I'm just looking now at my TV and thinking, like, it's going to...
Where's it going to go?
I think I know where it's going to go, but it's going to be a tight squeeze. It's so big. It doesn't fit into any sort of entertainment system, really. I mean, I feel like that's going to get redesigned pretty quickly.
Do you agree?
To be honest with you. Yeah, I think you'll probably in like 18 months.
Well, I like it, but for the sole fact that they're actually doing something new, because for the past like 20 years, everything has just been a black box, you know, or a white box. And it's like, whatever. But as far as I know, the white parts can be removed and exchanged. So like there might be console variations, like instead of a special edition console for a game, it'll just come with the parts to transform your PS5 into that like edition or whatever. But I don't know. It's finally something new and interesting. Because look at the new Xbox. I mean, it's literally a black, you know, box. That's all it is.
And even the S is ugly, to be fair.
And what is up with Xbox's naming convention? Seriously.
Oh, yeah, the naming.
Oh, I'm with you.
Did you guys hear about what happened with that? Like where all these people ordered the Xbox One because they didn't realize it was the wrong one because the titles were so confusing.
That is what annoys me, though. People will, like, think about like parents or whatever who've gone on trying to buy it for their kids or whatnot, or even just people who are gamers thinking, oh, I'll get it, and you make that sort of mistake, it's infuriating. Why not just name them something different? Why do they have to be so similar?
Yeah, I agree. I will say though, one in defense of like the Series X, I do think it's pretty amazing how they've got something so powerful into such a small machine in comparison to the PS5. It's a great feat of engineering how they've done it, because you look at that PS5 and go, wow, that is huge. I mean, and the Series X isn't small, but it's certainly smaller than the PS5 and more powerful. So they've done a good job there. But yeah, I know what you mean. It's a little bit boring looking, isn't it? I mean, it's not...
It's very boring. It is very boring, to be fair.
But, and I'm so interested from a technical perspective to just see what the new console generation is capable of, because I'm currently developing a game and I'm in Unreal Engine 4, and they've showed like Unreal Engine 5 and what it's capable of, and there's literally no polygon limit. You can have billions of polygons because of the way things are processed now. You have real-time reflections. Like they were showing a comparison of Spider-Man on the PS4 and the PS5, and when you see like the reflections in the glass and like... It's crazy. It's going to be a learning experience for me.
I'll tell you what, actually, just thought of this. Talking about comparisons, you might have seen this, Luke. Did anyone see the comparisons between NBA 2K21?
Yeah, I seen that.
From PS4 to PS5, that looks impressive.
It does look impressive.
I mean, I'm not a massive like that. I'm probably not going to play. I'm not a huge basketball fan, you know, really. So I'm not going to play it.
That's an understatement.
No, I really don't like, I don't like basketball. I've got to say, like, it just makes me think, wow, like, I mean, you look at the face comparisons from PS4 to PS5, it's like, it's massive difference.
Well,
so
I've seen both that you've both mentioned. I've seen the Spider-Man 1 comparison, and that looked amazing, like you've touched on, Kai. That was like, oh, wow, geez, didn't even notice, but fantastic. And then you look at the NBA one, and yeah, night and day difference, and it just makes you excited the power they've got at their disposal and what games they're going to create moving forward. So, yeah, I guess, I'm really excited for this.
So yeah, and I mean, talking about load times of Spider-Man and things like that and how it looks, I guess one good article here that we could look to is the Series X load times compared to Xbox One X, which is, a lot of people have been sort of going over these and going through game by game. And I just wanted to kind of list a few games and, their load times and see what you guys think, because some of them here are pretty amazing, to be fair.
Go ahead.
For the Series X compared to the Xbox One X. So... For example, obviously, Destiny 2, obviously, friend of the show. Oh, well, yeah, friend of the show, James Perkins, massive fan, isn't he? Destiny 2.
Yes, he is.
On the Xbox One X, it loads in 1 minute, 15 seconds on average, which is pretty long. So apparently on the Series X, that'll be 39 seconds. So that's a pretty big...
Yeah, sizable chunk.
Yeah. With Doom Eternal, obviously a game I really enjoyed I played this year. On the Xbox One X, you're talking 21 seconds. On the Series X, only 5 seconds. So,
wow.
Pretty quick.
Very quick.
Yeah. A probably even more start one here is Forza Horizon 3, which is, quite an old game now. But on the Xbox One X, that loads it 44 seconds. And now only 10 seconds on the Series X. So, again, a pretty big one. And the one for me, I want to talk about this the most, because it's actually a game I'm playing currently, is The Outer Worlds, which It's a great game if you haven't played it. I know you have played a little bit, haven't you, Luke?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if you've played it at all, Kai, but...
I want to. It's like
it's really
better,
good.
Like Fallout, but better, right?
It's essentially Fallout.
I've got to say, I'm a massive fan of Fallout, so I don't want to say it's better, because I do love Fallout, like 3, especially 3 and New Vegas.
So like, if you like Fallout, you'll like Outer Worlds.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's if you like Fallout New Vegas, especially... It's Obsidian. Oh, New Vegas. It's more similar to New Vegas. It's more similar to New Vegas, I would say, with the dialogue choices and things like that. But yeah, I mean, without the Outer Worlds. Well, yeah. Well, I think there's still like the odd bug, but no, I mean, it's notably, there's nowhere near as many bugs as in New Vegas. But yeah, I mean, I'm playing it on the PS4, so the times on this will be even longer for me. But the Xbox One X loads the Outer Worlds at 39 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And the Series X will load it at 8 seconds. So
that's crazy.
That's a massive difference from an RPG like that, because I don't know how much you remember at all, Lee, but I remember playing the game. Like, the load times on the original PS4 were awful.
Yeah.
Awful. I mean,
well,
terrible.
Don't forget as well, though, I've still got the day one Xbox One.
So these load times will be
load times are going to be, mate, is it going to be drastic for me?
You're talking for the Outer Worlds, probably like over a minute for you if you were to play it. So
yeah.
Going from a minute, and if you're going to get a Series X to 8 seconds, I mean, that's... Wow.
I mean, that's virtually no load time. I mean, 8 seconds is nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, actually, I've got another one here that's, you know, probably more relevant to this podcast, especially you guys as well. Resident Evil 3, that loaded actually pretty quickly, 15 seconds on the One X. Wow. 3 seconds on the Series X, it'll load in. So basically no load times.
Wow.
And I shoot. We've got to remember as well, the PS5, of course, you're probably going to see very similar load times to the Series X, if not even faster. Some games, because we know that the SSD is, well, apparently quicker, isn't it, on the mm-hmm. PS5. So you might even see Resident Evil 3 loading like a second on PS5. I don't know.
Well, that's when Capcom re-releases Resident Evil 2 and 3 Remake on the PS5, you know, and the Xbox and everything, I'm sure people will be very happy to play without loading time.
I've got to say, though, I think about Luke at Mass Effect. And I think how long some unload times were on the elevators and things like that. And
think of the past now.
I mean, if we can get down to like even 10-second load times on Mass Effect, wow, that'd be something else.
Like, as far as like a gamer, that's a lot of productivity too, if that's the right word to use. Because when you have so many loading screens, that time adds up, you know, and that can add like hours to your game time.
I remember as well when this was a long time ago, actually. Do you remember when they showed Spider-Man sort of on... between PS4 and PS5, like the differences in load times? It's quite a while ago. I think it was like a year ago, but you might remember it a little bit, Luke, but it loads so fast, sort of like, I guess what we call it now, the Spider-Man remaster or whatever it's going to be on PS5. But it loads so fast you actually have an option now to turn off the, what was it on Spider-Man when you went in the like the subway and stuff like that?
He was on the train, looking at his phone.
Well, it loads so fast, you don't even need them anymore. It just loads in 2 seconds.
Wow.
Or whatever, so.
That's crazy.
It's like those fake loading screens where they
fake loading screens
through a crevice or whatever.
Yeah.
But, well, they were saying that on the, you know, certain games on, probably same on Series X, PS5, actually, they're having to purposely slow it down. It's almost too quick to load.
That's insane.
Like, they kind of need maybe, you know, a quick, because obviously loading screens have like tips on, don't they, and stuff like that. So maybe they need a quick loading screen for like 5-10 seconds.
Wow.
They're actually adding them in.
God, a one day loading just going to be a thing of the past? Everything's just going to be insane.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're one pretty day, much yeah. there. It's crazy.
Mm.
Oh. I mean, look, certain games like are probably still going to have like 30, 40 second load times. But compared to, I think there was some games on there they were talking about that were almost like a minute and a half, 2 minute load times down to 30 seconds. I mean, even that is a massive difference. So,
yeah. I mean, it's bad news as well for my girlfriend when I'm playing games, because it's usually when I text.
texting time's gone
cut in half. That's
it.
Yeah, that's usually when I eat. Like, I'll have my food, and then I wait for a loading screen, and I shove as much into my mouth as I can, and then I keep playing while I'm eating. Like, and that's apparently a thing of the past now.
you're gonna have about 3 seconds to shove your food down your throat.
Face plant into your food.
Yeah,
and take a bite.
It comes back on. So, but I just think to me, it's actually as you know, we're gonna obviously get graphical improvements, but I think they're gonna be lower than sort of the from last gen. I think it's not going to be quite as noticeable, but I've got to say, that's one part of next gen to me that's like, yeah, that is next gen, isn't it? The load time, load times, that's what I want, you know.
I must admit though, I guess because I've been playing on the Xbox One OG, load times, I mean, yeah, they're kind of annoying sometimes when I'm playing online with you guys and I'm like, oh yeah, I've still got the black screen or whatever is waiting. But it's never really truly bothered me. So this will be interesting when I finally switch.
I've got to say, I've been playing The Outer Worlds on PS4. I don't agree with you anymore. I might have agreed with you once, but I don't now. I mean, them load times are so bad. Like, it's over a minute on the PS4. This, obviously, I'm playing on the original PS4, so not going to be as quick even as the PS4 Pro. But if that can go down to like 5 to 8 seconds on the PS5, I mean, that's
going to be intriguing.
Crazy.
Kai, did you ever consider switching over to Xbox at all with the next gen?
Well, I tried switching over during the PS3 generation because I had PS3, I had a Wii, and I was like, you know what? Like, mainly because of Dead or Alive and Dead Rising. Those are two games that I was like, I have to have them. So I got a 360, and I went through just the worst Red Ring of Death ordeal the course of like a year.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. I went through like 15 Xboxes and I just kept sending them back over and over, and it destroyed my discs and I was just done. Like, I was so upset at Xbox, and like, you know, the customer service was fine. They sent it back, but every time like they would send it back, sometimes it literally didn't turn on out of the box. It already had the red rings. And I'm like, what did you even do? Like, and I started marking them. I would put a mark to see if they were sending me back the same console, and half the time they did.
Oh my days.
That's so bad.
Did and you have to, though.
Yeah, a lot of the time you had to. Well, I think they did. There was I think at first you could. It was free, wasn't it? The first maybe couple of times you did it. But after that, didn't you have to start paying?
No.
Oh, was it free every time?
It was their fault.
Oh, fair enough.
But what they did try to do was give me, like, though they're going to keep the 360 and then send me a $100 rebate to get the newer version of the 360. And I was like, no, I'm not going to pay more money for this. Like, I'm done.
Yeah.
However, I am currently playing the original Xbox. I bought a modded one that has like the entire library of games on it because I never played that. So like, that's been a thing. I don't know if that counts. I'm like, baby steps.
You know, baby steps.
Definitely count.
On that, a modded one, is Knights of the Old Republic on there? Are you a Star Wars fan at all?
I'm not. I'm sorry. It is on there, but I... Yeah.
No, that's understandable. Yeah, it's a great game if you like Star Wars.
Made by... actually, the second one was made by Obsidian.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I need to clear up hard drive space for newer games, that's going to be the first thing to go.
Oh,
all the NBA games are already gone.
Well, to be fair, it's you know, maybe there was one time where not being a Star Wars fan was a big... Not anymore, because Star Wars has kind of been ruined anyway, hasn't it?
I think that's a chat for another day.
It is definitely a chat for another day.
Yeah, I'm the wrong person for this. I have no interest. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I must admit, though, with the Xbox, did you ever try the towel trick? That's how I kept mine going for so long with the 360.
I read about it and I was like, I'm not doing that. Like,
I did it for ages to keep my first one going when I was a teenager. Just about got me through. Well, that one broke.
Sorry,
and then the replacement, the second one, I've still got. Yeah,
you only had two. That's a miracle. I mean, I was a big fan and I went through like 5. So.
No. And like, for me, it was a polar opposite experience because in my living room right now, I still have my original launch, like PS3 that has all the backwards compatibility and the USB ports and all that stuff. I've had to send it in for repairs once or twice because, you know, over time they eventually die. Mm. But that thing is still kicking and I'm never getting rid of it because, like, you know, you can't get those anymore. They go for like so much money online. I love that thing so much.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, sorry. I was just going to say with the PS3, I've got the was it the Super Slim from like 2011, was it? Something like that. Maybe it came out. That's still going. I've been using it quite a bit and it's 9 years later and it seems to be fine.
Well, I was going to say one that I've still got, which is a bit showing my age here, the Sega Mega Drive.
Yeah.
With Toy Story. Nice. Still got it. Yeah, it does.
Still work, yeah. Wow. Yeah,
well, I say it does. I haven't tried it for like a year, but
yeah,
I'm assuming it does. Yeah, there's a throwback for you. Yeah, showing my age.
Hey, well, I've still got my Dreamcast, so...
Oh, the Dreamcast. I never had a Dreamcast, but a good friend of mine did. I used to enjoy going around and playing that game. Console.
Just so you know, it's a crapshoot because the drives are notorious for dying and mine's starting to die, so like they stop reading games eventually, but that's what the modding is for, because you can install... You know, I have to have someone do it for me because I'm not savvy with that stuff, but you can like... have all the games on it. I've gotten really into modded consoles, and I know I shouldn't be talking about that so much online because like piracy or whatever, but it's like, come on, this is like 20 years old.
Yeah, I've got to be honest. With modded console, I think it gets to the stage where it's like, who's going to care now? Like, really?
Like, if it was a modded Nintendo Switch or
yeah,
PS4,
I'd be like, well, that's probably
that's
not
a different story.
Because like, probably right.
So
those
be ringing
companies
the police
are
on
still
you.
Making money.
No, I've got I mean, anything. I think anything older than, if you're going to mod any, you know, anything maybe from 360 backwards, I think it's fine. Come on, I mean, it's
well,
been
like,
how long now?
The other thing too is like, I've got a modded Vita and I play that thing every night and. That one, my defense is like Sony murdered the Vita. So if you're not going to care for it, then I am going to, you know.
I've got
to
say.
Someone needs to.
I got to say, just a quick thought. The Vita is such an underrated console. So
it
good.
It really
it's
great. Oh.
It's a shame what happened, really. Because, well, me and you, Luke, we had PSPs, didn't we?
We did. We did.
And I really enjoyed my PSP.
Needed that for school.
Yeah. Yeah, we used to play in school and stuff. But yeah. I really enjoyed the PSP. And I actually think the Vita is better than the PSP, personally. And it's got a better library of games. I think the games are really cool. I like everything about the Vita. I mean, I've got a Switch, but it's funny. I do like my Switch, but there's something about the Vita where I'm like, I kind of still prefer the Vita. I don't know.
I love the Vita so much. Don't even get me started. Like,
it's great.
You
content.
Have no idea. I wrote a song about it once.
Oh, did you?
So,
is it online? Is the song online?
No. We're not getting into that.
Nowhere. It's a song on your channel somewhere.
It's not a good song, let's put it that way.
Yeah. But no, I've got to say that the Vita had so many underrated gems on there as well. I mean, I've got to say, a game me Killzone Mercenary, what a game that is. Great
well,
game,
and speaking of that, I didn't think we'd touch on this, but there have been rumors that are like, there's a patent that's been going around that show like the PS5 and the Vita are going to have some sort of compatibility, which is so weird. Because like, I mean, the Vita
it is weird.
Pretty much dead, you know. So
yeah,
they
that's
confirmed
true.
It themselves. So I don't know.
I mean, you never know. Maybe a PS Vita 2. That'd be great. Never gonna happen. But
no, seems unlikely. Now I must admit, though, to talk about old consoles, one of my favorites was the GameCube.
Oh, the GameCube was like another underrated console.
Yeah, I got a lot of enjoyment.
Great console.
That console. Yeah.
And obviously, the Resident Evil that I own.
Resident
one.
Evil, you know, obviously Resident Evil 4 made its debut on GameCube.
There you go.
It was obviously a controversial one at the time, wasn't it? Because it was kept off everything else, which was odd times. For a Nintendo console. But
yeah,
that was a great game.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good place to leave it, guys. And really enjoyed having you on the show, Kai. Thanks for coming on again.
Thank you for having me.
This time definitely went better in terms of the audio. I'm pretty sure it's recorded, so this will be going out. So a step in the right direction. But like I said, thanks for joining. We really appreciate it. And where can people find you on social media and your YouTube channel?
My YouTube is called Ink Ribbon. That's just youtube.com/inkribbon. You can also find me on Twitter at Ink Ribbon Games and on Instagram at KaiKun2236.
Perfect. And I'll put links in the description below for all those. How about you, Sud? Where can people find you on social media?
So it's just on Twitter for me. It's at David10Spud.
Lovely stuff. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Lel3Ds at a 9am for Instagram. And if you want to follow the podcast on social media, you can do on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at CheckReachPod. And if you are listening to us on YouTube, please like, subscribe, and leave us a comment with your thoughts on what we've covered today, as we'd love to know what you're thinking there. And if you are listening to us on any audio platform, also leave us a nice review and pass on the pod. But again, as I've already said, thanks for joining us, Kai. Really appreciated it, and we hope to have you on maybe in the future soon.
Look forward to it.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.